Ever feel like life is just one big improv show where you didn't get the script? Well, today's deep dive is all about a woman who's traded that chaos for something a little different: intense anticipation.
Oh,
We're
interesting.
taking a deep dive into a transcript from the Brita community,
Okay.
a global group known for its diverse perspectives.
I see.
They've got this forum where Frank, their leader based in France, posed a question that's relatable to us all. What makes a good life?
It is a pretty universal question, isn't it? And what's so fascinating about this particular forum is the variety of responses he gets. We're going to be focusing on one in particular from Natalie, a French expat living in Seoul.
Okay, so another foodie then.
Well, the stereotype exists for a reason.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, what makes Natalie's perspective on a good life stand out?
Well, she's all about anticipation as the key.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit
Right.
because we're not just talking about planning your next vacation here, right?
Yeah.
Natalie seems to be talking about anticipation as like a lifestyle choice, which honestly could be amazing or totally overwhelming depending on your personality. What would you say?
Absolutely. And Natalie does acknowledge both sides of that coin. On the one hand, she describes how, like, envisioning future scenarios, it helps her feel more in control, especially in a world that, let's face it, often feels anything but.
Right.
But she's also honest about the pressure that can come with constantly thinking ahead, It's almost like she's saying, yes, anticipation is powerful, but it's also a balancing act.
And that's what makes her example so interesting. She dives into three specific situations from her own life,
Yeah.
starting with her daughter, who's just starting to plan for her future.
Yeah, it's a big moment, right? And instead of just giving like vague advice, like follow your passions, Natalie takes a very practical approach.
Oh, I like her already.
Right. So they map out a budget together, they research apartments, really break down the financial realities of living independently.
Wow, starting early? It's like she's trying to equip her daughter with the power of foresight, wouldn't you say? So instead of just dreaming about the future, they're anticipating potential challenges and hopefully reducing some of that anxiety that comes with big life transitions. Now, speaking of anxiety, Natalie's next example reveals a different side of anticipation, one that I think many of us have probably experienced at some point, which is the clash of different working styles.
Oh, tell me about it. Yes, this one is so relatable. So she tells the story about volunteering for a French expat magazine in Seoul
Okay.
after the previous editor passed away. Now, Natalie is all about planning ahead, organizing articles, having everything lined up.
Which, let's be honest, is like the dream for anyone who values a sense of order and structure.
Right.
But then what happens?
Well, everyone else involved in the magazine takes their summer holidays and comes back completely unprepared. Deadlines are missed, articles are like half written, and you can practically feel Natalie's like frustration as she describes the chaos.
I can only imagine. It highlights that tension between those who thrive on anticipating every detail and then, those who prefer a more go-with-the-flow approach.
Totally.
I think we've all been in situations where those two styles collide, and it's not always pretty. I remember this one trip I took where no one booked accommodations in advance. We were just going to wing it. Let's just say it did not end well.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was rough.
It's a good reminder that, while spontaneity has its place, a little bit of planning can go a long way, especially when you're collaborating with others. And this idea of collaboration is really interesting because, even though Natalie, she clearly prefers to anticipate, she also demonstrates a willingness to adapt, which is evident in her final example about her cousin visiting Seoul.
Okay, so does she ditch the itinerary? What happens?
Well, not quite. She's got like this whole itinerary planned out, sights to see, restaurants to try, the works. But her cousin is much more spontaneous.
Uh-oh. That's a recipe for disaster for someone like Natalie, who thrives on order.
And it's clear she feels that tension initially. But here's the interesting part. Instead of forcing her cousin to like conform to her meticulously planned itinerary, she finds a way to adapt. Acknowledging that sometimes those unexpected detours, they can lead to amazing experiences.
So she's learning to find peace even when things don't go according to plan.
Exactly.
That's a valuable skill for anyone, wouldn't you say? Now, I'm dying to know, with all this planning and anticipating going on, how does Natalie keep it all straight? She mentions using Post-it notes.
Oh, yes, the Post-it notes. Imagine her desk covered in them, each one representing a task, a reminder, a future scenario she's mentally preparing for.
Oh, wow.
But here's the thing. For Natalie, this isn't overwhelming. It's actually a source of peace. She describes how a clear desk equals a clear mind.
So it's almost like a visual representation of order in a world that often feels chaotic.
Exactly.
I can see how that would be appealing. Do you think there's something to that for people who are very visually oriented, who find peace in, you know, seeing things organized?
Absolutely. And it speaks to the different ways people find calm and a sense of control. For Natalie, it's about externalizing her thoughts and plans, you know, creating a visual roadmap for her life.
Which makes me wonder, could this almost be too much control? I mean, where's the room for spontaneity, for those, like, happy accidents that make life interesting?
Yeah, that's the thing about balance, isn't it?
Right. It's an interesting balance to strike, wouldn't you say?
It is. And it's something Natalie grapples with as well. You know, she seems to recognize that her need for control could be perceived as rigid by others. And she even admits to sometimes envying those who are more comfortable going with the flow. But for her, that sense of order, that ability to anticipate and prepare, it seems deeply connected to her overall sense of well-being.
Which, let's be real, is something we all define a bit differently.
Oh, for sure.
For some people, well-being might be all about excitement and a new experiences, while for others, it's about stability and routine.
Exactly. And it's not necessarily about choosing one or the other either. It's about recognizing what truly brings you a sense of peace, a feeling grounded and content, and then figuring out the tools and strategies, whether it's anticipation, mindfulness, or something else entirely, that help you get there.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more about Natalie's personal definition of a good life, because it seems like it's not just about her own peace of mind, right? There's this whole other layer of family dynamics at play.
Absolutely, and it's fascinating how her approach to anticipation seems to impact her family, even if they don't always, like, see the direct connection. She mentions that while they might not always recognize her efforts to anticipate their needs, they do appreciate her constant availability, her ability to, like, handle things smoothly.
Which makes me think about something you mentioned earlier, communication. Because even the most skilled anticipator can't read minds.
Right.
At some point, those needs and desires have to be expressed.
Precisely. And Natalie even touches on this when she talks about how her husband often communicates more through actions than words. Which, by the way, is a whole other layer of complexity in relationships, isn't it?
Totally. Because sometimes showing up is a form of communication in itself. It's like maybe he's expressing his appreciation for her planning by being flexible when plans change, or like taking on tasks without being asked.
Yeah.
We don't know the specifics of their dynamic, but it highlights how different communication styles can play a huge role in how anticipation plays out in a relationship.
Right. It's not always about grand gestures or perfectly articulated needs. Sometimes it's the subtle ways we support each other's efforts, even if those efforts look different from our own.
So true. And it makes me wonder, for those of us listening who might be thinking, okay, I want to be more anticipatory in my own life, where do we even start? Because let's be real, not all of us are wired to think 10 steps ahead.
Well, remember Natalie's advice to her daughter, who, as we mentioned, struggles with anxiety. She encourages her to prioritize before even attempting to anticipate.
Which is such a good point, because it's easy to get overwhelmed trying to anticipate every single possibility, good or bad. But if you can first identify your priorities, what truly matters most, it helps narrow your focus and makes the act of anticipation feel less daunting.
It's about creating a framework, wouldn't you say? Not trying to control every outcome, but rather setting yourself up to navigate those outcomes with a bit more intention and hopefully a little less stress.
Right. It's like you can't predict the future, but you can equip yourself with the tools and mindset to, you know, face it with a bit more confidence.
So as we reflect on Natalie's story, it's clear that anticipation plays a significant role in her life. But it's not just about her personal quest for order and control, is it? It seems like it's also about creating a sense of stability and support for her family, even if they don't always consciously recognize the effort behind it.
Right.
It's easy to see how that kind of anticipatory mindset could be beneficial in a family setting, wouldn't you say? Absolutely. And it speaks to the interconnectedness of our lives, how our personal choices and habits, they ripple outward, impacting those around us. And it makes you wonder, how often do we underestimate the impact of those, like, unseen efforts in our own relationships?
That's insane.
Those little acts of planning and preparation that often go unnoticed, but make a world of difference.
All the time. Right.
Yeah.
It's like we might not always verbalize our appreciation for the person who remembers to pack the snacks or like checks the traffic before a road trip, but those small acts of anticipation, they contribute to a smoother, more enjoyable experience for everyone involved.
For sure.
But here's the thing. Not everyone thrives on anticipation.
Right.
And that's perfectly okay.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important point to emphasize. You know, Natalie's story offers a fascinating case study in how powerful anticipation can be as a tool for creating a sense of calm and order. But it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What can we learn from Natalie's experience, even if we don't necessarily want to, you know, cover our desks and post-it notes?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway here is the importance of self-awareness. You know, Natalie's story encourages us to reflect on what truly brings us a sense of peace and well-being, what helps us feel more grounded and in control without, like, stifling our sense of freedom and spontaneity.
It's about understanding our own personal definition of a good life, right?
Yes.
Maybe it involves a certain level of anticipation and planning. Maybe it involves embracing the unknown. Or, more likely, it's like a delicate dance between the two.
Precisely. And once we have a better understanding of our own needs and preferences, we can start to explore the tools and strategies that help us create that life, whatever it may look like.
Beautifully said. So as we navigate this wonderfully messy journey called life, perhaps the key is to, like, borrow a page from Natalie's book, not necessarily by adopting her methods wholesale, but by embracing the spirit of intentional living, whether it's through meticulous planning, mindful presence, or, you know, a blend of both. The real magic happens when we actively participate in shaping a life that feels authentic and fulfilling, a life that truly reflects our own unique definition of, you know, a good life.